Good morning and welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. This is show number 24, and today is Saturday, October 17th, 2020. As host of this show, Alan and I are committed to serving you with ideas, strategies, and techniques for building, marketing, or improving your business. We created this program to try and help the efforts of small business owners to recover from the coronavirus impact. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes. And the program is being paid for by Davidson Advertising and Allen Shoes.
And howdy! My name is Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Allen Shoes in Tucson. We've been doing that since 1982.
Did you actually say howdy?
Yes, I'm getting in the mood for our guest today. I just caught a glimpse on the internet of some images of the vast variety of eatins at Garrett's Steakhouse. After looking at these images, I think I could actually eat dinner right now. And yes, I did say eatins. I'd like to pull my chair up to a table with one of those great big steaks and say, howdy.
I think I should ignore you for a little while and move on, because I sense you're going to take me down a rabbit hole I don't want to go down. So here's something you sent me the other day, Alan. A business continuity plan. It's a report from Canada.
I have a plan to continue my business, but Rob, I really wasn't thinking of moving to Canada.
You won't have to, Alan, but they put this plan in writing, and I think it's got some useful information for our listening audience.
Doesn't everyone already have a plan to continue their business if they can?
Alan, most people would love to continue where they left off before the pandemic, but many either don't have the resources or are being pressured by their creditors, landlords, or they're so fearful they don't know where to start.
That's where we come in, Rob. They tune into Back to Business with Rob and Alan, and maybe they get a good idea. I do know a lot of businesses that have had to change up their business model and focus on some products that they didn't focus on before.
I agree, Alan, and a lot of good business people don't care where a good idea comes from. The best ones are happy to credit their employees, their managers, their wife, their kids, anyone. They use the idea and they try to employ it. They read, they study, and they listen.
So here's the plan that came out of Canada. I think we can glean some help out of it. First of all, Rob, what is a business continuity plan?
Well, it's a plan that describes how an organization will continue to function during or after some kind of emergency, disaster, or event. It involves planning how your key services or products can be continued and the recovery of key business and systems. Please remember, each business and operation is unique. The topics listed in this document are some basic suggestions. You'll need to create a specific plan that best suits your business and your operational needs. This document focuses on creating a business plan for infectious disease outbreaks or pandemics. It's intended for non-healthcare organizations.
Well, that's that plan, but people can plan their own plan. If it's a plan, so let's move on a little bit and find some topics in here that would pertain to all sorts of businesses, Rob. So I'm going to ask you another question here. Common areas that you might include in this plan would include what sort of main functions here?
Well, you know, you have to decide what you're going to do if people are going to be out of work. You know, people can be out of work, they're sick, they're quarantined. You're going to have to fulfill volunteer roles in the community, including helping with emergency services, caring for school-aged children, preferring to remain at home or under mandatory order by public health. In a worst-case scenario, people may have died or be in long-term disability, so you have to plan for that. You have to be planning for how many people are going to be off work, you know, to be able to fill these positions that you have in your stores or in your business.
Well, here are some areas that this particular plan that we're reading off of includes that you should focus on. You should look at personnel to identify and train backups for essential or all functions, plan for possible overtime requirements from available staff. Equipment. You have to decide what's essential. Do you need new equipment? Do you need duplicate or backup equipment? You have to look at your availability of assets, Rob, ensuring that you have access to facilities, utilities, raw materials, computers, machinery, or equipment. For example, if you're going to change your business plan and you're going to have a continuity plan, you can't just necessarily do it with the same assets you had before. You have to look at availability of other backups. You have to plan for other items. Those needs could change from paper, equipment, media, equipment, including off-site facilities, storage, security, power generation. For example, when we started having people in the community start working from home, you had to make sure those people were capable, that they had broadband internet reception, that they, if they were on Zoom calls, that they at home had a microphone or the right kind of speakers or headset, or that they could even get on that that Zoom or Google Meet process. So that's how we continued when we took some of our office staff, Rob, and had them work from home. I'm assuming other people had to do the same thing, and that meant that our IT professionals had to service our staff at home and not just, you know, at their work computers. And you have to look also at your chain of command, ensuring that everyone knows who's next in line for management decision makers should someone not be available. And recently we had to do that, Rob, when we had some personnel changes. We had to say, when this happened, you need to call this person now instead of this other person. Now you also have to look at accounting, and you have to ensure that you have continued payroll, finances, and accounting system, because with the pandemic, you may have had some staffing changes and you might have a hole in your system. And that's what goes into a business continuity plan, as well as emergency contact list. So, Rob, what are some of the effects? It's on page 4 here of this plan that we're reading here. What are some of the effects of a pandemic on a business?
Well, you know, some of the things, change in demands. The pandemic has changed everything, Alan. You know, in fact, I have an article here today. You know, look at all the PPE stuff you had to purchase for your stores and the expense involved. And we found an article this morning that Pima County has opened a third round of support for small businesses that need help acquiring personal protective equipment for employees. The county delivered free PPE to 202 businesses in the first two waves of the program. Priority in this round goes to businesses applying for the first time. Businesses that already obtained PPE through this program can submit another request and receive supplies if they're still available. The deadline to apply is October 30. Requests will be filled until PPE runs out on a first-come, first-served basis. Businesses requesting assistance will receive a pre-sorted allotment of PPE, which may include hand sanitizer, gloves, and masks, based on their number of employees. This service is available to businesses with fewer than 50 employees. And for more information, you can visit pima.gov/b2b. So those are some things that are available, Alan, that you have to think about for a pandemic. And I know you and your staff had to do a lot of that during that time.
Yeah, we're going to get back to our business continuity plan a little later in the show. We want to go on and we want to spend a little bit of time talking about some article that appeared in the paper yesterday about our guest today. But I'd like to say that through all of our shows, we've been discussing the latest news, and on most shows, we interviewed leaders in the community that have shared with you their experience, their knowledge, and some have shared their stories of struggles and success. We hope today's guest will do the same. And do you have some information from yesterday's article that we found in the newspaper about Garrett Steakhouse, Rob?
Yes, I do, Alan. An Eastside Tucson Steakhouse is now home to a pair of burger joints, a chicken sandwich spot, and rapper Wiz Khalifa's new virtual restaurant. And in the coming weeks, Garrett's family steakhouse owner, Michael Lapashinsky, said he will add the menus of at least 8 other virtual restaurants that operate solely through third-party delivery services. People don't know when they order it. They have no clue. It's a ghost kitchen. They order online, and the third party delivers it, and the customer has no idea, according to Lapashinsky. In these desperate COVID-19 times, restaurants that are seeing their revenues dwindle because of social distancing restrictions are getting creative to make ends meet, and many of them are resorting to creating so-called ghost kitchens aimed largely at takeout market. It took a full year and a half to turn it around, and we did, said Lapashinsky, who bought the restaurant in summer of 2018. COVID came and we're losing money every single month. His customers kept the restaurant afloat when it was forced to close its dining room in March, and they did takeout only. He said he was looking for revenue-generating ideas when he came across Next Bite, a 2-year-old virtual restaurant company based out of Denver that rolled out its first concepts early this year. The company now has a dozen concepts, including Hot Box by Wiz, Crave Burger, Fire Belly Wings, Mother Clucker, and The Big Melt, all of which operate in the kitchens of existing restaurants nationwide through third-party delivery apps. So that's going to be who we're going to be speaking with today, Alan, about some different ideas on how to change your business up a little bit. And we've been talking about these kinds of things for many weeks.
You know, before the show, Rob, you and I had a chance to consult with one another, and we came up with lots of questions for our guests that we'll do after our break when we allow him a chance to speak. And we're really excited because we want him to first define what a ghost kitchen is.
Sounds like a great idea.
You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555. Our call-in line is 790-2040. That's 790-2040. We'll have some great content today. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to find out about this unique new concept from the Tucson Restaurateur that will be on our show. Please come back after our commercial break.
Welcome back to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, Water Tech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Alan Shoes.
Our guest today is Michael Lapashinsky. He's the co-owner of Garrett's Family Steakhouse. Garrett's is a family-owned and operated restaurant on the east side of Tucson. They focus on friendly service and good quality food at reasonable prices in a casual environment. Their team members are like family. They strive to make every guest feel welcome and enjoy their time at Garrett's Family Steakhouse. Although steaks are the real highlight of Garrett's, with a full range of cuts and prime points available, the menu is full variety. They include burgers, chicken, ribs, seafood, pasta, and salads. Prime rib is served Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. until sold out, and they have a 32-ounce tomahawk steak, bison burgers, mud pie, to name just a few of their favorites. Their famous signature half-pound burgers are made fresh daily from 100% certified Angus beef. Alan, I'm getting hungry. Garrett's offers daily specials for dinner that are not on their menu. Go enjoy them. Have a good time. And Michael likes to tell a good joke once in a while, it sounds like. And Michael, welcome to Back to Business. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Why don't you give us a little background, Michael, on yourself and how you got into the restaurant business and a little bit about Garrett's, please.
Well, my wife and I owned a business up in Lake Havasu City, and both our kids were at U of A, and we wanted to be close to them, so we sold our car wash, and we found Garrett's online, and we thought, okay, this is perfect. It's 9 miles from the school, and really, that's the reason we're here.
Were you in the restaurant business before, Michael?
I was a cook and a waiter years back. I spent about 4 or 5 years in the business. But my wife and I have had our own business for most of our marriage, which is almost 25 years. So, and I love people. So restaurant business is perfect for me.
So tell us a little bit about Garrett's and distinguish between what you're really about and what this new concept is all about.
So Garrett's is a family restaurant. My wife and I, we have, I think, the best patrons on the planet. They really kept us alive during this whole thing, doing amazing things. We have customers that bring our team members gifts. It's just, it's such a tight-knit group. When people walk into the bar, most people know each other by name, and it's just a fun atmosphere. You come in, it's comfortable, and they know me and Tiffany, and they know about our kids because both of them, while they're at the U of A, worked for us. So it's a real great family environment. And obviously, during this COVID mess, revenues have fallen dramatically, and we're just looking for ways to increase revenue. And I ran across Next Bite, and I talked with Alex, my rep, and he kind of explained how everything worked. They literally have 13 different restaurants, and I think they're in 40 different states. But I like the idea, and I always like trying new stuff. And I thought, well, it's a very, very slim margin, but a slim margin is better than no margin. So we signed up. We were initially going to go live with 13 restaurants on the same day, and I quickly realized we were biting off more than we could chew. So we just did four, and those four have been incredible. We're doing a lot more than I thought we would. Again, it's a very small margin, but again, it's better than no margin whatsoever. So it's actually turned out Mother Clucker has got some great chicken sandwiches. The chef who put these together is absolutely amazing. And the way it works is they literally send us videos of how to make an item. They give us all the ingredients, and it's written down how to make it. So they send us all this. We go out, buy the product. The cooks get trained up and make it. So it's really working out well. It's been, we've had our challenges, no question, but I'm surprised at how many people are actually ordering.
Do they provide like branded material, like the way you wrap it or the way the box looks or any packaging that would identify it as this other restaurant, or is it under your packaging?
So they have 13 concepts. One of them is Hot Box by Wiz, who's a well-known rapper. He has his own special packaging, and basically they're just brown boxes with a round sticker that says Hot Box by Wiz. The other 13 restaurants, we just use generic packaging. It doesn't say Garrett's. It doesn't say the name of the restaurant. It's just plain. There's no writing whatsoever. So, but Hot Box by Wiz, everything is definitely has a separate box. It has a separate sticker, and everything has to be a certain way, has to be sealed up so the customer knows that it hasn't been touched or opened. So, and people really like it.
And if I was going to order one of these lunches, would I be going to Garrett's website? Would I be going to a third-party website? How would I think that I'm going to be able to get some of this restaurant food from businesses that I would identify as being out of Tucson and not in Tucson?
So you basically would go to, let's say, DoorDash or Grubhub, Uber, any of those, and you would put in the name of the restaurant, Hot Box by Wiz. It pops up, the menu pops up, you pick your items, you pay for it right there, and then it gets delivered right to your door.
Well, that's interesting. And I know there's a lot of people involved, including these delivery services, including the company that is packaging all this for your connection to it, including the entrepreneur that created the restaurant food and the marketing about it. There's a lot of people involved. So if I was a painter and someone said to me, here's how you paint a Picasso painting, it's going to come together a little bit differently, well, marketably differently than an actual Picasso. Is there a testing that you go through so people know that you're actually not only following the recipe, but those little extra nuances actually create that other element that's indicative of the food that people are expecting to order?
So in the training material they give us a picture of what it looks like, and they lay it out. I mean, it's all right there in black and white. They 4-inch brioche bun, for example, on a Clucker sandwich. I think it's called the classic Clucker sandwich. It's chicken breast. I believe it's 6 ounces. It's breaded and then frozen. Then we fry it. We put it on a 4-inch brioche bun with exactly 8 bread and butter pickles and some Clucker sauce. Then lettuce, tomato, onion on the side. So they're very specific, and a lot of the stuff that we, in these restaurants, we already carry anyway. For example, salmon, burgers. We sell a lot of burgers. We do ribs. We have rice already. So a lot of stuff is, stuff we already do anyway. But they do give us a picture of what it's supposed to look like, exactly how many pickles, how many ounces should the chicken breast be. So it's all right there, and the guys do a great job. Our cooks are amazing.
Well, you're making us hungry just talking about it, so we're going to move on to a couple of other aspects. What we really want to know from you, Michael, at this point is, before we go on, we're going to ask you after the break a little bit about how things are going on during the pandemic, and you've started to explain them, and we want to talk about what other changes you might be making. But before that, let's just make sure people know where you're located before we break and forget to do this afterwards. But you're on 22nd. Is it Harrison?
Yes, 22nd and Harrison.
Is it the northwest corner?
Northeast.
I believe it's a northeast corner of 22nd and Harrison. We're in the Fry Shopping Center,
right.
So you can't miss us.
Right.
Okay, well, that's great. So in any case, we're going to come back in a few minutes, and what we really want to know, we want you to be thinking about a little bit, is some of the changes that you can share, some of the, in addition to your struggles, what are the things you've done so that we get a good sense of we're trying to get a lot of different business owners that we've been interviewing over the show over a long period of time. And what we're really trying to do is try to get great ideas from other people. And we're going to want to talk to you about some of the things that you've done. And are you going to be able to continue with us after the break, Michael?
Yes, absolutely.
That's great. So we still got a couple minutes before our break, but tell me a little bit about whether or not your staffing is back to normal yet, or are you still working with a reduced staff?
We're at a greatly reduced staff. We initially, I believe we had 26 to 27 employees, somewhere in there. And now I believe we're around 12, maybe 13. So part of it is we might have had too many people on. The other part is we're still ramping up, and we're still not doing the numbers that we did. We call it BC, before Corona.
That's the same way we're looking at it. When we're doing our measurements, we're measuring it after the shutdown.
Yes, yes. It's, you know, mentally and physically, it's been tough, and not just for us, but for everybody. You know, people are staying home and for months on end, and they come in and they tell me it's their first time out, and they couldn't take it anymore, and they just needed something normal. And it's been hard for Tiffany and I. You know, obviously, it's already a tough business, and you throw a pandemic in there, and but we're just grateful not only to be alive, but you know, to be able to put food on the table and to have the customers that we have is just amazing.
Yes, we're all lucky to be walking around. You know, it's bad enough that you have to worry about business, but you have to worry about maybe catching this virus. A very good friend of mine has it; he caught it just inadvertently, not even thinking, you know, that it could happen like that, and. You know, avoiding crowds, avoiding this, avoiding that. So, you know, it's very stressful for all of us. Even if business were great, it would be stressful for all of us. So,
yes.
So we're going to break in just a few seconds here. Michael, please hold on, and then we'll come back to you after our break. In the next segment, we have more things of interest to share with you. Please come back after our commercial break.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Allen Shoes in Tucson. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes. Our guest is owner of Garrett Steakhouse. Michael, are you still with us?
I sure am.
Hey, Michael, I've got one question for you on the thing that you're doing right now. Is this exclusive to you in Tucson? Is it open to other restaurants? How does that work?
So it is open to other restaurants because the drivers will only go a certain distance from our location. So if you're on the west side or the north side or the south side, I think the concept's open. It just wouldn't be, I think it's about a 5-mile radius within our restaurant.
So I live all the way out in Star Pass, so you probably wouldn't, they wouldn't deliver out as far as we live. Is that correct?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. And what about if we wanted to come into your restaurant and pick up these foods, is that possible?
It is not. Our agreement is you have to order online, and that's part of our agreement. So.
And so when an order...
But there's always Garrett's food, which isn't too bad.
I'm sure. As far as... Somebody gives the order, we go through, say, a DoorDash or whatever. Does that come through to our computer to you guys? Is it like an online system?
Yeah, so it'll come to a tablet that they provide, and then we'll take the printout, enter into our POS system, and it goes right back to the kitchen.
So, Michael, let's go back to this this plan and your experience. And we were talking before you came on about a business continuity plan, and certainly you appreciate the business that you're getting from this restaurant concept, but I'm sure you're trying to figure out how to get Garrett's back on track. Are you not?
Yes, that's obviously the people that sit in our restaurant are priority number one, and it'll always be that way. Being at half capacity doesn't help us much, especially on a Friday and Saturday. I hate it when people have to wait to sit down, but it's a fact that we have to deal with. And I want to keep that 6 feet. I know that some of the other restaurants, I don't want to mention any names, but some of them are big corporate restaurants, and somehow by putting plexiglass up, they can sit every table. My wife and I aren't sure how they're getting around that because it does save 50%. So, you know, maybe there's something I don't know, which is entirely possible. But I still feel when I go to a crowded place, I don't feel as comfortable. And I've had a lot of people tell me that they actually thank me for keeping that 6 foot distance and doing the every other table because it makes them feel more comfortable. So, and would I love to get rid of it? Absolutely. But at the same time, I just want to make sure we all have a good time, but we're also safe.
Were you closed for a long period of time and just doing takeout, or were you?
It was funny. An officer came to our door at exactly 8 o'clock on March 17th and asked me to have everyone leave. He was very nice about it, but he had paperwork, and it was a really odd feeling being in America, having someone come and tell you to close your business. I really struggled with that one for a while, but so March 17th, we closed down for takeout only, and we were able to open up at 50% capacity on May 11th, the day after Mother's Day. And so during that time, it was takeout only. But you want to talk about some great people. By the way, Dot, who turned 100 the other day, happy birthday, Dot. She had her 98th and 99th birthday at our restaurant. She was going to have her 100th, but she fell and broke a bone. Uh-huh. So I just want to say happy birthday, Dot. We love you and miss you.
Were you also able to serve alcohol to go as part of that deal?
Yes, that was very strange. I actually became a delivery guy, and I delivered quite a few margaritas. But that was very interesting, and it helped a little bit. Obviously, our liquor sales were down 98%, but we were able to do some, and that was much appreciated.
Did you have any? Did you get cooperation from your landlord and from your vendors?
You know, everyone has been, very gracious, and I'm very thankful for that. Fortunately, our vendors were all taken care of. Obviously, the rent was the biggest one, and unfortunately, it was a perfect storm because you have January, February, and March, which are the three best months for our business, obviously. And then you have April, when all the taxes are due for the first quarter. And when they cut your, March 17th, our revenue dropped 80%. And it was quite a struggle. So, but I'm very, very grateful for our patrons. You know, they helped us get through that. And for that, I'll always be grateful.
How are food costs nowadays for restaurants? Because we see in the supermarket every time I go that prices are higher and higher and higher. How does that affect you guys?
So, at that point, I actually paid $7.50 a pound for hamburger. Normally, it's around $2, and we get the 81.19, so it's a good quality hamburger. It doesn't help, and I've had to raise prices. We used to offer a discount. I had to take that away. Tiffany and I were struggling. And these are things that we just had to do to stay in business. Obviously, it doesn't help, but we're coming up with new ideas. You know, we like to put out three specials every day for lunch and dinner, and I really like to get creative with those. And some of them, are not great, but some of them are awesome. The shrimp dish we did the other day was incredible. But I really like to do things that are different. And when I find something that people like, then I tend to run it a little bit more, maybe put it on the menu. But we're just coming up with creative ways to, try and generate more revenue, do the higher profit margin items. That always helps. But steaks and seafood are very, very tough just because the cost is so great, and I will not go with a cheap steak. I thought about it when it first came down. I can pay half of what I'm paying for a steak, but I'm a steak guy, and the first bite, you're going to know. So I actually went up on a couple different items. We went up to prime, which is the best that we can get, and I think people appreciate that.
Well, especially nowadays, Michael, because people aren't, you're not going out quite as much. So when you do, I would imagine you really want it to be as great an experience as it can be. Because let's face it, we used to go out 3, 4, 5 times a week maybe, and now A lot of us have not gone out at all, depending on our situation. So I commend you on keeping your quality great, because at least people can, the few times they can go out, at least they can enjoy themselves.
Exactly. And people, it's not always about the food. Obviously, the food is important, but it's about their experience. Did the teammate or the server smile when they came up? Were they greeted with a big smile? You know, I really enjoy talking to people, and I love to laugh. We have a particular gentleman that comes in with a group every Thursday, and he brings me 8 or 9 jokes that he gets out of a calendar, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not, but I always go into the bar, and whoever's in there gets to hear them, and sometimes they like it and sometimes they don't, but even the bad ones, they laugh because they're so bad. But it's really about the experience as well as the food, and we really, really strive to do the best we can. We're not perfect, and we screw up. We're human, but we really, really try to make the experience a pleasurable one.
Well, and that's why it's so important for all of us to patronize our local establishments, because everyone is trying so hard now, and you guys are doing everything you possibly can to make your customers happy. Really commend you for what you're doing and all the changes that you've made to try and survive. Michael Lapashinsky, we really appreciate your being with us on Back to Business today. Why don't you... One last thought you could give to our listeners and to other business people out there, what would it be?
You know, just be grateful for what you have. That's it. Because some people, you know, I would just say be grateful.
I think that's absolutely wonderful advice, Michael. Michael, thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate your time. Best of luck to you. And I think Al and I are going to be out there one of these days and real soon to have lunch, and hopefully we can meet you in person. Thank you so much.
Margaritas are on me.
Okay, you got it. Thanks, Michael. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555. However, if you want to comment on our show, Rob also runs our complaint department. I just cause the complaints. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, or call on 970-2040. That's 790-2040. Please come back after our commercial break.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Allen. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner-operator of Allen Shoes. I've got some bad news to share with you. This week, we opened our newspapers, it might have been just a couple of days ago, to learn that the COVID-19 pandemic has claimed one of Tucson's most beloved downtown restaurants, Cafe Poca Costa, chef owner Susana Davila, or is it Davila?
Davila.
Davila announced Thursday that the Mexican restaurant that she started from a small downtown space in the mid-1980s and grew into a nationally celebrated eatery would not reopen following months of being closed due to the pandemic. Clearly, that is not how I imagined my business would culminate, the owner says. I always envisioned passing the business on to my hardworking children who have been actively involved in the business for many years. But with COVID-19 still posing a threat and the combination of the fixed costs, such as rent and utilities, and rising food costs, we just learned about some of those from our guests today, and social distancing restrictions that limit the number of diners, she said, we just do not see a profitable way of continuing. She's not ready to speak, but with the media, according to their closing and according to her publicist, Norma Gentry from Pro Ventures. And she closed the eatery. It's at 110 East Pennington. And if you are like Rob and I, you've been there at least once, and you enjoyed the food so immensely that you felt it was one of the best places in town to eat, and we're sad to see her go.
Very sad to see that happen. And, you know, Alan, right now, there's a lot of businesses hurting out there, and one of the reasons they're hurting is because of the inaction of our government. They're fighting back and forth on the stimulus and this and that and the other thing, and just wish they would get together and pass the things that are needed to help out, because people are really hurting right now. And there's really no excuse for the inaction that's going on there. But now on to something a little more fun. Alan and I like to do a little something about sarcasm. In a study from 2015 covered by Scientific American, which Parade magazine reported recently on their website, found that sarcasm can actually increase creativity flow. Since creativity is one of the skills all business people need now in order to steer their businesses past the pandemic, we offer up this part of our show. So, Alan, why don't we start with number 71, I'll try being nicer if you'll try being smarter.
Number 72, I was asked what I look for in a relationship. Apparently, a way out wasn't the right answer.
73, friendships must be built on a solid foundation of alcohol, sarcasm, inappropriateness, and shenanigans.
Number 74, tactics for people who aren't witty enough to use sarcasm.
75, my boss said, I intimidate my coworkers. I shared at him until he apologized.
You know what? I wrote that wrong down. It's supposed to be, I stared at
him. Oh, I stared at him. Golly. Okay, I stared
at him. It was my mistake, my typing. Number 76. I just burned 2,000 calories. That's the last time I leave brownies in the oven while I nap.
Really? Okay. 77. It's amazing how clean my house can get when I'm pissed off.
Number 78, instead of single as marital status, they should have independently owned and operated.
79, I don't fall asleep. I overthink myself with a coma.
Number 80, if karma doesn't hit you, I gladly will.
All right.
So now we move on to our Putts of the Week. That's another regular segment that we have where we nominate people for the Putts of the Week Award, and that's being awarded every week by Rob and I. And we pulled up... We actually pulled up four. We probably had time for three of them, so we're going to find out which of those three are today as our nominees. Rob, do you have a Putts of the Week that you'd like to start with?
I do, Alan. I'm calling it up right now. I'm saving, I think, the best one for last, but we'll see what our listeners think about that. It's technology sometimes is difficult.
We'll give you a second to do it, but I just wanted to let people know that people make mistakes each and every week, and we're not calling out the simple mistakes. We're calling out the ones that people should have known better, that people were acting inappropriately.
Absolutely.
You know, they were being a jerk, and that's why we call them the Putts of the Week.
And it could be politicians all the time, but it doesn't have to be, and there's plenty of people.
We purposely held our tongues.
Exactly.
On this thing, just to prove how politically correct we might be sometimes.
So here's the headline of the first one. Drunken groin shooting and bar fight have nearly half of a Wisconsin police force on leave. Nearly half of a small-town Wisconsin police department has been on leave since a bar fight and the drunken shooting of a man's groin, say officials. I just lost the story, Alan. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we're going to tell you that the drunken shooting and the bar fight is one of the ones that we're going to share with you today. We've got a couple of other ones here, and they're interesting while Rob's getting technically back online here. But it just seemed to me that there's no shortage of these people. And I'm going to read you, you know, while Rob is pulling up, I'm going to read you the rest of that story. And it says, nearly half of a small town Wisconsin police department has been on leave since a bar fight and the drunken shooting of a man's groin, official says. The city of Moss Dun, and I believe that is in what state?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, a town of about 4,400 northwest of Madison, released details Tuesday about why 4 of 10 officers haven't been on the job for over a month. On Tuesday, Sergeant Michael Sturek was charged with felony recklessly endangering safety and misdemeanor offenses of operating a firearm while intoxicated and endangering safety by use of a dangerous weapon, according to a news release. In late August, Sturek was drinking with another man and consumed about 12 beers when they started looking at his guns, police said. Sturek, who says he's a firearms instructor, removed a pistol from a safe and was shocked when it went off. He told an investigator he didn't have his booger picker on the bang switch when the gun fired. Jargon that means that he didn't have his finger on the trigger, according to the criminal complaint. The bullet pierced through the man's groin and lodged in his thigh, which required surgery, and that's why he deserves a nomination as Putts of the Week. Do you have a second nominee?
I do, Alan. A dog owner gets slammed on Reddit for irresponsible behavior. How stupid can you get, it says. A woman who was simply trying to take some cute photos of her engagement ring with her dog ended up in a nightmare situation. In the video, Danny Heatley places her engagement ring on the dog's nose and tells him to stay so she can snap a photo. However, before she can successfully capture the moment and take her ring back, Her dog mistakes the ring for a treat, and well, he swallows the whole thing. Many Reddit users chastised her for putting her precious ring on her dog's nose in the first place. How stupid can you get, they said. So I guess she had to wait for a few days probably to find the ring, Alan.
You know, as putz of the week as that person may be due the award, I bet you have another nominee that you'd like to talk to us about.
I do, Alan. The headline here says, plane passenger caught smuggling gold nuggets in, well, we're going to say in a place that we don't want to talk about, okay? Indian airport authorities literally struck gold when they spotted a man walking oddly and discovered he had about 2 pounds of gold bullion shoved into his rear quarters. The Go Air passenger arrived from Dubai on Tuesday at Kerala's Kanpur Airport, where he tried to avoid paying an 18% tax on his precious nuggets by smuggling them where the sun don't shine. Officials at the Air Intelligence Unit mined the stash worth about $60,000 from the unidentified smuggler's rear, according to an outlet. Another passenger on the same flight was caught carrying more than 3 pounds of gold, though officials did not disclose if that traveler had concealed it in the same way. On Wednesday, customs agents seized just under a pound of gold from a passenger who landed also from Calcutta on an Air Arabia flight. So people are being quite, when it comes to gold?
Well, it's not secretive.
No, it's not secretive.
It's industrious.
I guess it's an industrious way of doing it. But, you know, Alan, I think this gentleman deserves our putz of the
week. I don't know. John, what do you think? John, our engineer, we're going to ask you, do you give a thumbs up if we award the putz of the week to this particular gold nugget storage expert?
Yes,
there we go.
Does. All right.
John gave us a thumbs up. They're awarded the putz of the week for the gold nugget storage shenanigans.
You know, we find these stories. They're not easy to find, but they're out there.
So often on a Friday afternoon, I'm emailing Rob and I'm saying, Rob, I need some help finding the putz of the week because I'm either not using the right search terms or I find so many I can't decide which of the three that we should nominate. And we've got another one we're going to pass on to next week because we only have so much time here.
They don't go bad, so they'll still be good. And there'll be more next week.
There's still putzes no matter how long it takes.
No matter how you look at it, exactly.
Well, mention our guest again, and let's
thank
him.
Michael Lapischinski from Garrett's Family Steakhouse. Michael, thanks for being with us today, and we look forward to coming out and seeing you and breaking bread one of these days.
That's at Garrett's Family Steakhouse at 22nd and Harrison. Catch us on the internet at btobtucson.com. That's btobtucson.com. That's where our website is, and we store some recordings of our shows there or a link to our website here at the radio station. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising. You can reach him at 629-9555. If you're a retailer or a restaurant owner or any business that has struggled through the last few months or you're just someone interested in business, this is the show for you. It's Back to Business with Robin Allen, KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. This has been Alan McCloskey.
And Rob Davidson. Thank you so much for being with us this week, folks. We look forward to seeing you next week. Please stay well and take care of yourselves. Thank you.